Hello, everyone, and welcome back to episode 3 of Jolly Flicks. I am your host, Lisa, and thank you for joining us. So if you listened to last week's episode, The Polar Express, you would know that this week we are covering Christmas with the Cranks. This movie probably by far has to be on my top 3 Christmas movies of all time. I'm going to get into it, but just to start off, let's get into our synopsis. Christmas with the Cranks came out in 2004, rated PG, and runs at an hour and 38 minutes. And the synopsis goes a little something like this. Finally alone for the holidays, Luther and Nora Crank plan to eschew the Christmas traditions and take a cruise in the Caribbean instead. This doesn't sit well with their Christmas-obsessed neighbors, Vic Frohmeyer and Walt Shield, who are determined to win the annual Best Decorated Street competition. And the Cranks soon find themselves social outcasts because of their lack of Christmas spirit. Like I said, this movie was released in 2004 on November 15th. It is directed by Joe Roth, story by John Grisham, screenplay by Chris Columbus. It was distributed by Columbia Pictures and Sony Pictures. And this was adapted from the book Skipping Christmas. Like I said earlier, the story was by John Grisham. We have probably one of the biggest casts. I mean, I know we talked about How the Grinch Stole Christmas, and last week we kind of touched that it was one of the big actors, but overall, so far, what we have reviewed, this has the top tier cast. So playing Luther Crank, we have Tim Allen. Tim Allen is a world-known comedian. He was Buzz on Toy Story. He also played in, if you guys are obsessed with Christmas movies like me, the Santa Claus trilogy, and they actually just came out with a Santa Claus show on Disney Plus, and there's 2 seasons released of that if you want to go check it out. We also have Jamie Lee Curtis, who you may know from Freaky Friday or the classic horror series of Halloween. We have Dan Aykroyd, which you probably know him better in The Ghostbusters. We have Julie Gonzalo, who plays Blair Crank, who also starred in Freaky Friday, A Cinderella Story, and multiple Hallmark movies. And there's also some people here and there that don't have huge roles, but are definitely big in the movie. We have Cheech, as in, yes, Cheech and Chong. Great, great guy. Funny, plays a good character, you know, just very kind of has that blunt humor. We also have Caroline Rhea, who plays in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And we have Felicity Huffman, who also has a small role, but she's well known for Desperate Housewives series. And they also have small or roles in the movies as well, but kind of like a standout secondary cast, which I thought was very interesting. So to go on to my personal thoughts of this film, just off the bat, this is a hilarious movie. Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis just play off each other so well. And I think it has to do with Tim Allen's dry humor. It's funny because Tim Allen reminds me a lot of an uncle of mine who just also, again, has very dry humor. I really just don't know how to explain it. Like every time he talks, the facial expressions, I'm like, wow, you guys are kind of 2 peas in a pod, which I think is absolutely hilarious. So that's kind of my personal tie. And just kind of diving into what the movie is about, where they're skipping Christmas, I get it. I understand completely. If you note, the previous year, Luther Crank did all of the calculations, and they spent $6,100 on Christmas. Now, yes, I am an absolute Christmas lover with the lights, the trees, and, you know, the gift of giving. But I'm not dropping $6,000 a year. Maybe close to like 700, maybe, if that. I really don't keep track of my expenses at Christmas time, but I definitely know it's not $6,000. And when he found this cruise, it's $3,000. So they're saving $3,000 for Christmas to just kind of go do their own thing. I don't understand why everyone around them is so opposed. I guess they kind of were a little like hiatus on like the Christmas spirit. So yeah, they could have put a tree up or, you know, just threw some lights on the house. Did they have to boycott it completely? No. But like, what would the movie be if they didn't? You know, my family kind of had our own skipping Christmas. I remember we went to Disneyland one year, and I think that's when I was like 12, 13. So we kind of went like, we went for 3 days, and it was right during Christmas. Like, we were there the day before Christmas Eve. So Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So we totally didn't do family Christmas or anything like that. So, I mean, technically we skipped Christmas, and I think that's very popular. But we did have lights up and, you know, had a few decorations in the house. So we weren't like completely boycotting Christmas. But, you know, I remember when my mom introduced the idea, she's like, we're going to be like the Cranks this year. And I was like, okay, sounds fun. One thing that I didn't like is how Nora was so quick to turn on Luther as soon as the daughter called and said, I'm coming home for Christmas. And if you notice at the beginning of the movie, she leaves the day after Thanksgiving. So it's not like she was gone for that long anyways. It was maybe a month. And so I guess, you know, like, I am a mom. Like, I would be sad if like my child was away for like over a month. Like, I didn't go to college near where my parents live. So, you know, I think the most time I went without seeing them was maybe like 2 months, month and a half or something like that. But Nora, why are you turning on him? You're like, this was all your idea. And I'm like, girl, your daughter's like over 20 years old. She went to go be in the Peace Corps. Like, if she's adult enough to make those kinds of decisions, like, I'm pretty sure she could understand, like, you and your husband are going to go do something for Christmas. And just because she decided to come home the day before Christmas, like, or 2 days, no, it was the day before Christmas, like, come on. Like, she's a big girl. She can handle it. But, you know, like, towards the end, Luther had some valid points. You know, they had their big Christmas Eve party, and he was like, we celebrated, we can still go. Like, Blair and her new fiance can have the house to themselves, like, enjoy some peace and quiet, and we can still go have fun. And she's like, how dare you, all these people and spent their time to help us. And like, I understand that. But let's be realistic. If they wanted to do it, they could. But, you know, it was great for the neighbors to have a once-in-a-lifetime trip that maybe they couldn't afford or never necessarily thought about going on. And as you know, it's Walt and Bev Shield who they give this gift to, this gift of a cruise. And, you know, as we know through the storyline, Bev has cancer and it's come back for, I don't know, I can't remember which time it was, but you know, they did mention that it would probably be her last Christmas. So, you know, it's a once in a lifetime trip, and it may be the last chance for her and Walt to do something together for themselves. And so, you know, that's kind of like the fairy tale ending, like, peace and joy. Like, you know, it was a good thing that happened towards the end of the movie. And then Nora's like, Bev just called, she told me what you did. Like, I'm so proud of you, honey. Like, that's great. You know, like, I love you. This is why I love you. So those are kind of my personal thoughts. Favorite scenes. I have too many to share, but I think one of my favorites would be at the beginning of the movie after they drop off Blair at the airport. She is like, oh, I need some white chocolate and whatever else. And so he went inside, got whatever, and he came back and it's pouring down rain. And, you know, he didn't bring the umbrella, so, you know, didn't want to get wet, which I get, it's pouring down rain. And, you know, she's like, well, why didn't you get the chocolate? He's like, they didn't have any. Well, obviously he didn't check. I mean, ladies, no offense, guys, but if they don't know where it is, they're probably not going to go really searching for it. And in 2004, they didn't, you know, maybe the cell service wasn't that great. But she was like, well, did you ask Rex? And he said, who's Rex? The butcher. He's like, as odd as it may sound, I didn't think about asking the butcher where the chocolate was. And she's like irritated as we all get, like, come on, dude, like, just take the extra effort and you could find the white chocolate. And she is like, okay, I'll go in. And he's like, no, I'll go. He's like, I'll go talk to Rex right now. Maybe he'll wonder why I'm all wet. So I think that's definitely one of my favorite scenes. It's, you know, you get it. You have a fiance or a husband, you understand. Yeah. Favorite scene. Many more. So let's dive into our Frosty's 5 fun facts. So our first fun fact we have is the book is mentioned in the movie, in the newspaper title after their tanning incident where it's, you know, they're caught practically half naked in the mall and the pastor sees them and is like, oh, scary. But the news title is called Skipping Christmas. And as I mentioned earlier, this movie is adapted from the book Skipping Christmas. So that's kind of cool. Our second fun fact is Tim Allen's only Christmas film not playing Santa, which obviously, as I mentioned earlier, he's in Santa Claus 1, 2, 3, and the new adapted series. But it's kind of ironic because if you notice in the movie, when they're kind of peeking out the window, when they don't buy the Christmas tree, and Nora's all nervous, like, oh my gosh, like, what, they're staring, oh, I can't handle this, my anxiety's going up. And Luther says, oh, who's he going to call? The three wise men. Santa Claus. So kind of ironic. Our third is that Dan Aykroyd and Jamie Lynn Curtis played love interest in two prior movies. And that would be My Girl and My Girl 2. Classic drama. Very sad. I can only watch it like when I'm not so vulnerable in my life because it's a great movie, but it's so sad. So sad. The fourth is if you look really closely after Luther falls off the roof when putting up Frosty, a firefighter gets hit in the face with the ladder that's going up to cut Luther from the rope. So if you watch really closely, you can see the back end of the ladder hit the fireman in the face. But they carried on, so that's great. Our last fun fact, Emmett Walsh, who played Walt, and Tom Poston, who played the priest or pastor or whatever he is, they starred in Home Improvement along with Tim Allen. So we have some more people who have played together. Emmett Walsh plays Tim Allen's father-in-law in that show. And then Tom Poston had some random roles. And fun fact about Tom Poston is that this was his last movie before he passed away. So kind of sentimental in that way. And so it's kind of cool seeing how everybody has played together in prior roles. And even, you know, if you did some more research, you'll see that they all played together in more roles after this. So that's awesome. All right, it is our tinsel time. So tinsel time again is where I go on and ask some people what they think about this movie. I have comment sections. If you don't follow me on anything, you can follow me, Lisa Pence 99 on Instagram, and you can send me kind of some things that you think, and I'll get them through my message request. So, some of our thoughts, they're all very positive. I mean, this is, again, like I said, this is my top three movies to watch during the Christmas season, or not on the Christmas season. So, one of the best, iconic, ugh, I love that movie. Someone said that it was a pretty funny movie, and it's a good Christmas movie. And then this comment kind of made me do some research into it. So, this person said love, especially because it's set in Illinois. And so I thought about it. I was like, wow, there's a lot of Christmas movies and just obviously movies in general that are based in Illinois area, like suburbs of Chicago or whatever. So besides this movie, Home Alone is also set in Illinois, as well as National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And kind of going off the tangent of Christmas movies, these two specifically, these were directed by John Hughes. John Hughes is very legendary. Aside from those two Christmas movies that I just listed, he was in charge of Pretty in Pink, 16 Candles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, a lot of 80s rom-com movies, and essentially every single, if not, you know, most of his movies are based in the Chicago area. So that I thought that was pretty cool. So to the person who commented that, thank you for letting me do some more research to dig in and turn a light bulb on in my head. I loved getting to find that stuff out. So let's get into our Santa scale. My Santa scale. I am giving the movie Christmas with the Cranks my first 10 out of 10. Yes, I am, you know, as much as I kind of nitpicked at the beginning, like essentially everything that's done in the movie brings it together as a whole. And, you know, as I said, I think when we did the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, I can nitpick and nitpick all day long, but essentially my thoughts and my feelings are gonna stay the same. So some reasons why I gave this, you know, 10 out of 10, 100% is the top-notch comedy. All around, you're gonna laugh. There are some sentimental moments, but for the most part, you're guaranteed a good laugh here or there, the entire movie, depending on how you're feeling that day. I think the actors and actresses in this movie had great chemistry. And the chemistry, I really feel like, came from them playing in roles together prior to filming this movie. So it's kind of like, ah, familiar face. Yes, I love working with this person. Or who knows, maybe they didn't like working with them, but because they had already worked with each other before, it just kind of got easier. Also, I think, like I said earlier, it has the good mix of emotions, does have that feel-good Christmas feeling, and, you know, if you need a good laugh, Tim Allen is guaranteed to give it to you anytime, any day. And then we have the great background noises. You know, there's some music, but for a lot of it, it's just like that added entry sound, and it's just like, ugh, gets you in all the feels and emotions. So that's our show for today. And thank you guys for listening. I want to give a shout out. I saw today that we have some new listeners in Canada and India. So thank you all for watching. And please feel free to share with your friends and family. Love getting to see where all of you guys are tuning in at. We are on Apple Podcasts now under Jolly Flicks. So please go and follow if you like listening on Apple Podcasts, or I think a lot of you are listening through Spotify or through the RSS feed directly. Regardless of how you listen, thank you. Our next movies we are going to be doing the next week, or next week and the week after, is Home Alone 1 and 2. I am very excited for these. I launched the poll on Instagram, and within like 20 minutes, it was like, yep, dead giveaway. It's going to be those two movies. So I want to do, I know there's more than just two Home Alone movies, but these two movies have all the same actors and actresses in it. So that's going to be the best way to kind of talk about them and then compare them. And I'm just super excited for it. So if you have thoughts on Home Alone 1 and 2 and you want to get your tinsel time entry in, feel free to message me. Other than that, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.